How many appeals are enough in a death penalty case? That question might best be answered using one man's story. His name was Robert Alton Harris. Was because he died in a California prison chamber nearly 10 years ago, choking to death in a cloud of poisonous gas, as the San Francisco Chronicle put it. But he's left both legacy and litigation. He lives on, in a sense. Harris's name isn't well known in legal circles for his heinous crime. He stole a car, forced the two teenaged boys inside to a remote area. He counseled one to die like a man, and then shot both repeatedly. He finished the dinner the boys had started, then used their car in a bank robbery. Instead, Harris is known for the foes he made on his way to the gas chamber, a majority of United States Supreme Court justices who, in prose, threw up their hands in disgust at his many appeals, and in so many words wrote, "Enough is enough. No more appeals. Put the man to death." Enough is enough because often there are many, many appeals in death penalty cases. A killer is sentenced to die. He appeals that sentence, arguing perhaps that he deserves a new trial for some legal mistake. Even if the state appellate court upholds the sentence and the state Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court agree, his appeals aren't over. He returns to state court using a different avenue, a habeas petition, challenging the conviction on constitutional grounds. That again works its way through the appellate courts. Once that's exhausted, the prisoner can pursue federal habeas relief, starting at the trial court and ending at the Supreme Court, and continue filing federal appeals up until the very end, within certain limits. As the day for execution nears, more appeals, possibly on both the state and federal levels, prisoners and their lawyers frantically grasping at the thinnest threads possible. With hours to go, law clerks at the United States Supreme Court stand ready, receiving by fax last-minute requests for stays. And many times the word from the justices is the final word. One clerk remembers signing a paper for his justice in the wee hours of the morning, denying a last-minute stay of execution, and then driving home from the court, listening to breaking news that the inmate had been executed. In Robert Alton Harris's case, the Supreme Court thought it had had the last word. Most of the justices soundly rejected Harris's last-minute appeal, an argument that the gas chamber was cruel and unusual, chiding him for his obvious final-hour attempt at manipulating the justice system. Prison authorities then strapped him into the gas chamber. But then another decision, this one from a federal appellate judge who found the argument strong enough to support a stay. Authorities removed Harris from the gas chamber for only a short time. Supreme Court justices, frustrated that their previous decision did not stand, vacated the stay and ordered that no other federal court halt Harris's execution. He died within 2 hours. The state of California killed Robert Alton Harris back in 1992, executed him as death penalty supporters outside the prison counseled him, in turn, to die like a man. But in a deeply ironic twist, given the Supreme Court's strong language, his appeals continue long after his death, with a touch of success. Robert Alton Harris is one of three named plaintiffs in a case decided in 1998, 6 years after his death. The court in the case suggests it'll be ready to hear the claim that gassing is cruel and unusual punishment when the time for another gas chamber execution nears, which means that Harris, in name, could well continue his appeal in the years to come. And his argument has already worked in a way. Shortly after his execution and the graphic descriptions of his death, California legislators decided that condemned prisoners should be permitted to choose between lethal injection and the gas chamber. So how many appeals are enough in a death penalty case? Robert Alton Harris tells us we shouldn't be too quick to say, enough. I'm Amy Guida.